I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Superman, Batman, Apocalypse.
Hurrah.
Or should we call it Superman Supergirl Apocalypse?
Well, it should really just be called Supergirl Arrives or something like that. Yeah. But yeah. It was a pleasant surprise. I know you had mentioned it, but I kind of forgot. It was still a pleasant surprise.
I suppose the only thing I can think of is because it's a direct continuation of Public Enemies.
Right, that they,
And also, maybe even just in the kind of brand name, the sort of thing that maybe they tried to do with Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice, going, you come for the Superman and Batman, but we'll offer you teasers of other heroes so that you follow them.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, like, look, they are the biggest names. Yeah. Everything DC is always going to be sold off them, so, well, not everything, but...
Yeah. And not only that, but we also get Wonder Woman and Darkseid, so it's pretty much all the kind of major characters are here.
Yeah.
We start off in Gotham.
Yes.
So the mention of two things. Firstly, Lex Luthor's being impeached, which I love that even in the fictional world, America takes ages to do everything, unless you have to force through a judge in 40 days, in which case you can do that fine. They also mention that Gotham has new drone blimps.
Yes.
And just a reminder, they are drones. There are no humans in them.
Yes.
Because though we do have a Batman that has absolutely no issue of killing in this film, we don't have any humans die, because that's important.
Always important to point it out.
So there's reference to also, surprise, surprise, blowing up a huge meteor leads to lots of little meteors hitting the planet.
Yeah, things that we seem quite aware of, but in cartoon world, not is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. And when they finally think, oh no, all the meteors are gone now, it's fine. There's one more.
Yes. I wonder what this one's going to have in it.
Well, I said, oh no, humans don't. Well, a tsunami does happen. So maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can't assume that they don't.
Yeah.
But I think that there's none explicitly killed.
So, the Batboat is out to investigate. And Batman jumps into the water that is brown. Is Gotham like London in the, was it 1800s?
Maybe, but like I'm not sure London, I'm not sure entirely what evidence there is for that either. It's one of those like classic stereotypes of London that we used to get really annoyed about. So, but who knows?
Yeah, but Batman is masked up because when you have something that is dangerous for your airways, like water, you mask up.
Yes. Everyone, wear a mask.
Yep. Whilst that happens, whilst he's exploring underground and he finds kryptonite in a spaceship, someone breaks out of the water and jumps into the Batboat, somehow activating the rocket.
The Batboat. I love it.
I mean, would you at least not lock your boat when you jump out of it, Bruce? Come on, man.
I mean, I don't think he's really into security. He kind of feels being Batman is enough.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not... Maybe he's just hoping for other recruits. I mean, that's how it happened with his car, so...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's just looking on the lookout for a new Robin.
The Batboat crashes and blows up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good job he's a billionaire.
Yes. We get a kind of similar title card to Public Enemies, which is quite good. Yeah. I also noted it was Lauren Montgomery who directed this, as opposed to Sam Liu.
Right.
Which might explain why there's more... Well, I don't know that there's marginally less kind of pervy stuff in it. There's a couple of shots that are kind of, okay, that was an interesting
choice. It wasn't too bad, but yeah.
We then go into a Terminator film as a naked woman is walking on the docks of Gotham.
Yeah.
And she breaks the arm of the first guy she sees.
Fair.
She gets a jacket and then runs out into traffic. And I already know where this is going to go. So she accidentally lasers one of the cop cars and they start shooting at her.
Yes.
Immediately. I mean, no, don't say it.
That's what they do.
Don't. Between running away from the police, flying without control, and then the only person that's there to try and help her is Batman. No, that she's talking in a language that no one understands.
Yeah, she's just rattling off in foreign language.
Yep.
Or alien language.
Which apparently Kryptonian sounds Swedish.
Did you think it sounded Swedish? I just thought it sounded a bit...
Well, he said, oh, where's she from? Sweden?
Yeah, well, what would he know?
He's a dock worker.
I mean, like, to be fair, I wonder how many Swedes he's met. But yeah, okay.
What eventually happens is that Supergirl flies into one of the drone blimps and blows it up.
Hurrah.
Thankfully, Superman happens to arrive at this point to capture the blimp.
Yes. And he's just in time. Like Superman often is, just in time.
And he throws the blimp into the river because throwing big items into the river worked really well 2 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine that. It's like, you come out and it's like, oh my god, I've survived the tsunami. There's another one.
Yeah.
So, Batman then finds the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Holds the kryptonite next to her and knocks her out.
See, so he gets it.
Yep. You say that. He then is trying to test if she's human.
Well... he's a detective. At least he's using, you know,
but
he's doing some detecting.
But you're kind of going, right, so just to get this straight, I have a woman that has identical powers to Superman.
He's not a great detective, just a detective.
Who's weakened by kryptonite.
All right, he's building a case.
I mean, so, also, despite the fact he knows kryptonite works... Doesn't have any next to her when she's strapped down to a table, so she breaks out and blows his computer up.
You'd think you didn't enjoy this film. Like, normally it's me mocking these things.
I know,
it was all right. I know, just a grumpy, like...
I know, but this Batman annoys me because he's too grumpy.
He seems, like, traditionally grumpy for me.
No, but he's not even that. He's paranoid beyond... I mean, this is Ben Affleck levels of paranoia. So, anyway, she blows up the computer, and it's at this point Superman goes, what happened to her speak Kryptonian to her?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, oh, wow, she's actually Kryptonian.
Well, to be fair, they do think that Kal is the last Kryptonian.
Yeah.
I can understand why that might be a, like, oh... Maybe I should try this because it's the only other thing I've got.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, like, she could have been... I mean, she definitely seems alien.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I can understand why Kryptonian didn't jump to their head. It's like a bit of... Occam's razor, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Superman then reveals, oh, it's this person is my cousin. Oh, it's Kevin Conroy and Tim Daly are back as Batman and Superman. And it's Summer Glau who's voicing...
Summer Glau,
sorry.
Yeah, from Serenity, what's it called? The Firefly. And Serenity, to be fair.
And I think she was the Terminator in the Terminator TV series as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
In the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, I think she's been off for a couple of years. She's been busy having a family. But yeah, she's kind of... She's kept busy, which is good. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because Batman's computer is kind of exploded, they decide to take her to the Fortress of Solitude. Also, because if she's Kryptonian, this is the only other bit of Krypton stuff that's around.
But also, they're quite like... Like, Batman's, like, really upset about his computer being blown up, like, as if he isn't a billionaire.
Right. Yeah, and he tries to charge Clark says, oh, I'll cover it.
Yeah.
Which he...
And he's like, yeah, on a journalist's salary, which is fair.
Batman could buy your employer and sell it for nothing back to
you. Yeah, Batman should have priority on his computer systems also.
Yeah. I mean... Batman's the sort of man who will buy a bank to sort out your mortgage. But anyway, they're in the Fortress of Solitude. This is one other thing that does happen in the film. There's loads of time jumps.
A lot. It was very confusing.
Yeah. Which, I mean, to be fair, both time jumps, it's kind of like, oh no, we have to get to a certain point.
Yeah, and it was more interesting than actually watching...
Kara's learning English. Though apparently she's able to learn it in a week, so which is good. It means that she's at least as intelligent as Clark.
Yep.
Which is awesome. And Batman seems to be of the opinion that, oh no, not only has she got all your abilities, she might actually be stronger than you.
Yeah, because she can process sunlight better.
Yeah.
For her powers or some gobbledygook.
Which is interesting because didn't it take Superman's powers a while to manifest, or am I making that up?
I don't really know. I mean,
it's comic book science, I know.
Well, it's also like he left Krypton when he was a baby and she left when she was
a young child. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's pretty like tween, if not older, you know, I mean, she's not. Like that young, and we don't. I mean, it is. Of course, it's comic book science, but yeah. I mean, I don't think they manifested as a baby in him, but we don't really have a firm timeline of when they sort of popped in.
Yeah, the one thing they don't explain, to be fair, is and I know that the comic books tend to explain this, and our origins do. This kind of thing of how can a person who's older than Superman leave around the same time and yet be younger than Superman and arrive when he's an adult.
There is definitely an explanation because I've asked Connor about this and he's...
Oh no, I know there's an explanation, but there's not one in this film, is the point
I'm
making.
But I guess that, they don't really dwell on Clark's stuff much, it's just accepted.
Yeah.
Maybe, I guess you accept that she said something in Kryptonian to him and explained it.
I was trapped in an extra dimensional space for 20 years, I don't know.
Or whatever it was, yeah.
Theory of relativity, I don't know. She got caught in a black hole on the way. So what
something
she,
like that, isn't it?
She's apparently strong enough to break doors in the Fortress of Solitude as well.
Well, we don't know what they're made of, but yes. Yeah.
And she runs scared from Crypto, the superdog.
Oh, she's never seen him, which is strange.
Yeah, we get the Crypto the Superdog cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Which just a cameo, because he doesn't appear in the rest of the film.
It's a shame, because that was one of my favourite bits.
Oh, absolutely. And Batman seems to take this as proof that she can't be trusted. Because not only does he not trust her, and, I mean, he's Batman, that's normal, but the dog doesn't trust her either.
I mean, that's a fair point.
And it just seems to be so that they can have conflict between Batman and Superman, which is... Batman's like, don't trust her, don't trust her, don't trust her, don't trust her, don't trust her. And Superman's going, but she's my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes her okay. I think he's just happy to have someone else like him, which is good.
And to be fair, she hasn't done anything untrustworthy yet.
Yeah.
She just may not have done anything particularly trustworthy.
Yeah.
I think, it kind of boils down the Batman is generally suspicious and Clark is generally optimistic.
Absolutely. It's absolutely is true that. And also, now, this I didn't know. The Fortress of Solitude has a petting zoo?
Yeah, I had no idea. I don't know what's in the Fortress of Solitude apart from, like, some statues, usually.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of. I'm assuming these animals are Kryptonian.
I mean, that's the assumption, yeah.
Yeah. So, we then get a conversation between Batman and Kara.
Yeah.
And she's having memory gaps, which doesn't really affect anything else.
No, they're just there.
It's one of these other things. I know it's something that we've noticed in a few of these movies, is you can have side stories, but they end up being very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
I guess they can also drop a lot of that stuff in case they want to pick up on it again.
I suppose you get the impression they were writing this with a sequel in mind.
Yeah.
But so she doesn't remember much of flying to Earth. She remembers seeing her parents die, which I do feel that's horrible to be like, oh, my parents are coming right back. Oh, no, they're not. And I don't know, are they implying that this giant meteor that was heading to Earth in Public Enemies was holding her in it?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I took from it.
Apparently, surprise, surprise, Kara does not trust the person who is wearing a lead-lined mask to hide his identity and is really suspicious of her at every turn.
Yeah.
We then randomly cut to a fiery apocalyptic planet.
Very aptly apocalypse.
Yes. I was going to, like, I wonder if this is apocalypse.
Yeah.
So, we see a insert generic female warrior with red hair that's left unnamed.
Yeah, I don't know the female Fury's names enough to know if she is one.
So she's apparently meant to be the leader of, going to be the next leader of the Furies, except she gets killed by her squad mates.
The Furies are a bit like that, though.
Yeah. So it's one of those. It's, again, one of those things. We get no real detail on any of the Furies or their names, other than they seem to all be trained by Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
Who
is apparently got a very male accent.
Yes, I did wonder about that. Is that a established thing or is that just a?
I mean, I've only read a few comics with him, but like, no, I don't think so.
I suppose that even if you'd read the comics, it's not like unless somebody actually
said you sound and look like a man.
Yeah.
No, she looks female enough in the comics for me to like not go, oh, it's a man called Granny. But I thought that was a bit of an odd animation choice.
Yeah. So the fight kinda is going well until towards the end, and then the Furies are able to kill this obviously competent warrior. And Granny gets shouted at Darkseid, who mentions that they've not had a proper leader since Big Barda.
Mm-hmm.
Which comes back later. Apparently Darkseid's been watching Earth and has seen, oh, a woman has just fallen out of the sky.
He likes getting his new Furies.
No, fair enough. I can understand him wanting to get Furies.
Yeah.
At the same time, I want her. Why? You have no idea what her power set is. You don't even know she's Kryptonian. Well, maybe you do.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a better detective than Batman.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, we have proof he's better Detective Batman, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
We then cut to a woman who has not been introduced at this time, who's dreaming about Superman apparently carrying the dead body of Kara in a very Death of the Family type way.
But yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely homage to that.
So, we don't find this out yet, but this is Harbinger.
Who, yes.
I'm taking it she has powers of precognition.
Yeah, I think so. I've only seen her in one thing and I didn't really understand what she was doing there, but everyone made a big deal of her. So apologies to all listeners. So.
Yeah, the one thing that I've seen her in before, she was, well, I'm assuming it was the same thing as being Arrow.
Right.
Where she has completely knocked this parasite and isn't an Amazon and doesn't have anything other than she's named Lila Michaels and she is effectively married. Well, she's married and the father of the child of that world's equivalent of John Stewart, who doesn't have his lantern ring yet. Spoiler alerts for Arrow, just to warn you. But anyway, we then go to... Clark decides the most important thing to teach Kara about Earth Girl culture is shopping.
Well, and, it's something.
No, I
think he just wants her to be able to fit in, yeah. Maybe most of the women he knows like shopping.
And
although he knows Lois, he could have, like, you know...
I mean,
he could have drafted in some help there.
Yeah, that would have been nice to have Lois arrive and, you know, maybe she could have some dialogue in this film.
Maybe. It's never going to happen.
Now, one thing I did note, at one point, Kara's wearing earrings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert on earrings, but I was under the impression you kind of needed to have a hole put in your ear to have earrings on.
No, they have their clip-on earrings.
Oh, okay. Shows what I know.
they have clip-ons, but yeah, I mean, you can have your ears pierced, obviously, but they also have clip-ons. So.
I was going to go, but what? But
maybe she got her ears pierced on Krypton as a baby.
Maybe she just has...
Like something that could do it.
Maybe she just has holes in her ears naturally. Maybe that's like the one difference between Kryptonians and humans, is there's a small hole in their ears.
Just saying. That is possible.
So, however, one thing that Kara does learn very quickly is teenage rebellion.
Yeah.
I'm wearing... an outfit that reminds me of Superwoman from Crisis on Two Earths.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was a deliberate nod, actually.
Maybe.
That would be really clever if that's what they did, actually. I'll give them that. So Clara then gets a hot dog, has to have it confirmed that it's not a dog, which, considering the only dog she's met, barked at her and chased her around...
It doesn't mean you'd want to eat it.
I suppose.
I mean, come on. Like,
I don't know. I've never crash landed onto a planet and had
wanted to eat something that barked.
I'm happy hostile. They then talk, and at this point, it's indicated that, oh no, Kara's got X-ray vision already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking it this was a deliberate choice. So Kara and Clark get attacked. At first, you think it might be the Furies, but it's not. It's actually the Amazons.
Yeah.
Because it's Wonder Woman and the Amazons, and Batman's basically asked them to train Kara.
Yes. They've decided they're going to train her.
Which I suppose, if you want... To be fair, if you want a crash course in controlling unbelievable powers...
Well, I mean, if Clark's not going to do it, then yeah.
Yeah, particularly since Clark doesn't seem particularly interested in actually training her how to use her powers, or at least didn't get around to it.
No, he's not great.
Batman asks Superman to trust him, and Kara takes taken to Themyscira.
Mm-hmm.
And spends 2 months there, which we don't see.
Yeah, because that would be boring.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's... What on earth... Why would you have a training montage in a superhero movie? It's ridiculous.
Well, we have had a lot of them.
To be fair. But that's because we're kind of watching these back to back to back.
But what I'm saying is, if you're writing it, maybe you think maybe we do something different.
Yeah. So
I mean, the writers will have been aware of that.
Yeah.
So.
A Harbinger is having the same visions. It's made clear that she is an Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to, it's 2 months later, and Kara Zor-El is apparently able to fight Artemis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fight.
I mean, she does have an awful lot of powers on her side.
Mm-hmm. Though she doesn't. I don't know if this is, they're implying that the Amazons are almost as strong as a Kryptonian, or if it's just she's still not really harnessing her powers yet.
Yeah.
But Artemis is able to defeat her and outstrength her, which, as I said, is surprising. What does happen, though, is we have two men on Themyscira.
I know, it's a bit shock.
Which, I mean, admittedly, if you're going to allow two human beings onto your woman-only island...
Well, maybe as allies of Diana, they have a pass.
But doesn't stop Superman interfering in the fight.
No.
So, at this point, Kara starts to get annoyed because everyone's interfering in her life.
Which is fair. They are. Maybe the Amazons have taught her she has a bit of autonomy.
Yep. And it's clear that... Well, it's not clear if Kara knows about the vision, but everyone else does. And we actually get an actual proper argument between Batman and Superman.
Yep.
And they don't even punch each other. It's lovely.
It is nice.
Meanwhile, Harbinger at one point goes, oh, I see everyone's future apart from mine.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she's wrong. But we'll get to that. But you get this kind of... It's quite clear that... I mean, at first, I thought Harbinger was going to betray Supergirl.
Right.
The way that she kind of like... She was really resigned and really feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, she's in league with Darkseid. But to be fair, she's not, which is a nice twist.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah.
But what does happen is that a boom tube appears and an army of Doomsday appears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we say Doomsday, they seem to have quite significant villain decay. Because an army of them, though they're able to beat an army of Amazons, it's not by much.
No, which is weird. They should be like, it should be easier.
I mean, it's not like it's something ridiculous like Batman with a battle axe can defeat them. Wait. Though apparently they don't have any blood, so who knows? Maybe they're just hollow inside. But anyway, we have actually quite a good little battle between the Amazons and the Doomsdays.
Yeah.
Batman at one point figures out it's a distraction and runs off. And Superman is able to laser an entire field of Doomsdays.
Yeah, it's quite impressive.
It is quite impressive. I mean, that's... The looks of it, it takes a lot out of Superman, but he's able to do it.
Yeah, he's looking after his cuz.
Yep. Which, I mean, okay, it is underpowered Doomsdays, but still, wow. Though, what then happens is the prophecy comes true.
Yeah, which is sad.
And it's not Kara's body, it's Lila's.
Yeah, that's sad.
Oh, which is sad. This leads to Superman basically going, okay, we're invading Apocalypse.
Yep.
To which Batman's like, well, you're not going alone. And Wonder Woman goes, yeah, I'm coming with you. And 2020 version of Superman goes, this is a really bad idea. But this is 2010, so it is going to be survivable. And we have... Kara's put into a cell and is off-screen hypnotized by Darkseid.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we cut to a suburb and Superman, Wonder Woman and Batman are meeting with Big Barda.
Yep, they just appear. They just kind of fly down.
And Batman must obviously have broken into her house while she was having a shower.
Yeah.
I'm liking this version of Batman even less. I think this is the first time we've ever met Big Barda.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's the first time she's been in these films, I think.
I suppose it's the first time we've met Darkseid as well.
And Darkseid, yeah.
So that's...
And Granny Goodness. All
and
these...
Granny Goodness, yep.
Yep. Bundle. And Harbinger, we think.
Yep. Well, Harbinger might have turned up in the background of the Wonder Woman movie. I don't know.
Yeah, well, she might have done, but I don't think so.
So, I didn't know anything about Big Barda.
Right. She didn't seem very big in this. She's the same height as Wonder Woman. I mean, her name, yeah, so I think she's normally bigger. I mean, she's normally shown as being extremely tall compared to everyone.
Yeah, I mean she's turned up in a lot of the television series.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it, yeah, this is the first time that she's actually appeared in. This is the first time that she's actually appeared in one of the films. She turns up in a couple of the other films in kind of cameo roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't seem to live up to her name in this one.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed.
The sound of it, she might be in... There's a Ava DuVernay New Gods film that's apparently coming out.
Well, she'll absolutely be in that, because she'll be, like, one of the leads.
Yeah.
Her and Mr. Miracle. And we see his outfit in this, but not him. We have no explanation for why she opens a closet and shows us his outfit.
Who's Mr...
Okay, Mr. Miracle is her boyfriend, her stroke husband.
Right.
And they meet on Apocalypse.
Okay.
Oh my god, right, so...
And he looks like the Vision in Iron Man.
No, he doesn't. He looks human, but he has that outfit.
Right, okay.
His outfit looks similar colouring.
Right.
But no, he just looks human. But he's the son of the Highfather, and Orion is the son of Darkseid. I'm going to get this so slaughtered if I get this wrong. And they do a deal when they're babies. To make peace, they switch their babies.
Right.
So Mr. Miracle, who's called Scott Free, is raised on Apocalypse, and Orion is raised on wherever the High Father, wherever the good gods live.
Right. Is it the new gods and the old gods? And basically they've swapped kids as hostages?
Yeah, so like okay. But Scott has this inherent goodness in him, and he's been brought up with the Furies, and Granny Goodness is horrible to him, and he falls in love with Barda, and eventually they escape.
Right. Okay.
So, but you very rarely, I mean, like, it's kind of weird that they showed us his outfit, but nobody's sort of saying, where's Scott, or, like, it was just like, okay, fine.
It was almost like it was just like a blink and you miss it cameo for people who know who Mr. Miracle is.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's also why Barda escaped
Apocalypse. Okay.
So it's kind of relevant in that context, but not really relevant anywhere else to this. And she was the leader of the Furies, or going to be the leader of the Furies, or whatever. She was, you know. Yeah.
So effectively, it's. Which is a shame, because maybe, you know, if they'd had him in the film, I suppose that. They were introducing enough characters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he could have just said, I'll stay home, or
yeah.
I'm off doing something else, but whatever,
anyway,
it doesn't matter.
So,
she goes to Apocalypse with them.
Yeah, she agrees to go to Apocalypse with them because, well, she knows her way around the place, so... And it was it's one of those, she's getting dresses up, and she's going to come out and she's going to be in her armour, and yeah, she was, so...
Yeah.
We then cut to the invasion of Apocalypse by probably the four of the most powerful heroes on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes better than the next invasion on Apocalypse we're going to see.
I will take your word for it.
Well, to be fair, that's not for another 10 years, and it's...
Oh my god. Well, we'll get through that quickly.
Yeah. So, we have... effectively, just a sort of introduction so that, one, we can establish, okay, this is how powerful Barda is, and also, there are tanks in this world, but they're easily beaten.
Yeah.
So, we then get the team split into three parts, which is Superman goes off, basically, to confront Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
Batman goes on his own, because of course he goes on his own, even though he's
the... Batman.
Yeah, it's not like he could be allied with like the two strongest female warriors on the planet Earth.
Right, and it's like he doesn't have the same power as Superman and Wonder Woman, so yeah. It's always funny when he goes off on his own, but he always goes off on his own because he's Batman, you know.
Yeah, but he's gonna fly through to the armory.
Yeah,
and basically he's going to activate all the nukes.
Yeah, which is a plan.
Is the actual plan? So okay.
Yeah.
And Barda and Wonder Woman end up being the ones that have to go through the sewer as well. I mean, okay, fine. Batman going off on your own, but at least go through the sewer.
Yeah, it's amazing. He just doesn't care. He's just like, I'll take the non-smelly option. And he's the one who's probably walked through more sewers than anyone else. Exactly. Let's face it.
On the plus side, we do get a sort of Barda going, oh, I respect you, Wonder Woman, and I'm looking forward to working with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, which is...
It's nice.
Yeah.
So, Batman gets chased by dogs in armour, which doesn't... Outside the fact that he kills the dogs... Well, he buries them alive.
Which is pretty nasty.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, don't like this Batman. Superman is dive-bombed by a load of flying robots that have no effect on him. And meanwhile, we actually... The best part of this stage of the film is Wonder Woman and Barda fighting the Furies.
Yeah, that's a cool fight.
And it is. It's actually a really good fight. And it's it's back and forth. Granny Goodness gets involved. Yep. At one point, the two heroes get captured. And it's like, why on earth is he going to take a Kryptonian when I can present him with Wonder Woman?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I guess the Kryptonian's at least younger and easier to... Probably a little bit easier to brainwash.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you even see Wonder Woman go, not for 10 years. But anyway, Batman, whilst this happens, Batman finds the Hell Spores, which we have no explanation of what they can do until later. And he then gets swallowed by a dog.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous when you put it like that.
Yeah, he gets swallowed by a giant dog that starts smoking out of its mouth.
It's kind of like a hellhound.
Yeah. Well, the smoke is not from the hound's own physiology.
No, but... Yeah.
So Batman then breaks out of the dog. Probably killing the poor thing, but okay.
Probably.
Is then... Completes the Terminator riff by going, I need your clothes.
Well, he does, to be fair. But yes.
Yep. Meanwhile, Kara, it turns out, is mind-controlled and in an even skimpier outfit.
Yes.
We're just going to skip over. I don't know, is there any other perks that Darkseid gets outside the leader of the Furies being a fearsome warrior? I don't know.
Not really.
But anyway, Superman and Kara start fighting. Well, yep. I say start fighting. Kara beats Superman up. Because he refuses to fight.
Which he should.
Until he finally goes, okay, you're really mind-possessed. And you actually want to stay. So, okay, fine, I'll fight back.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman and Barda are able to defeat the Furies, killing at least one of them. However, they do not kill Granny Goodness.
I mean, it's like the Joker. You never kill the really bad people.
Absolutely. And Batman then comes in and goes, well, Darkseid, I've activated all your nukes.
Mm-hmm.
To which Darkseid goes, that's impossible. Really? Because this is the code to activate all your nukes. And Darkseid then proceeds to try and kill him. To which Batman just... this is probably the kind of...
He's the most gung-ho
It's the most Batman thing that he can do. Can go, Yeah, I've activated all the nukes. Fine, kill me. See what happens.
Yeah.
To which Dark Sun goes, okay, fine. You win. And it was... I was kind of going, right, there's 20 minutes of this film left.
And Dark Side, you're like, what's going to happen now? Leave.
Yeah, you were like, okay, this isn't going to end well. Also, am I the only one that found Darkseid just generally a bit underwhelming?
Yeah, he's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, he's just a bit meh.
Pretty much.
I mean, he gets beaten in a game of chicken by Batman. So they're basically...
It's not hugely surprising to me, but like, still.
Yeah. So basically he goes, okay, fine. Go and take the Kryptonian with you.
Yeah, I thought, I'm done. I'm bored of this.
Fine, I'm bored. And I don't want my planet to be blown up. So deactivate the nukes and leave. It's fine. Didn't want her anyway. So Kara wakes up in Themyscira.
Yeah.
Apparently doesn't remember any of what happened, which is convenient.
Yeah.
Kara then says goodbye to the... Is this meant to be a statue of Lila?
Yes, I thought so, which does seem strange, but maybe that's what... I mean, maybe that's what Amazonians do to people who die.
I don't know. Fair enough.
Maybe. I mean...
Anyway, and then says goodbye to Wonder Woman, Batman, because that's then finished pretty much for the film.
Yeah.
So, yep. So Superman decides that the best place to take Kara is the Kent Farm in Smallville.
Which, maybe.
Yeah.
It does seem a bit strange to say here's someone else you'd have to deal with, but, you know, parents aren't any younger.
I mean, it's one that, and I mean, it's not like you've given her a taste of Metropolis living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what shopping can you, what can you shop for in Smallville? Creamed corn?
Yeah, but look, she saw chickens and she was fine. It's all good. She saw baby chickens. She went, I could live here. It's fine.
Fair enough. Unfortunately, so when does Darkseid turn to Batman? Because one, he's able to figure out, well, maybe he already knew that Superman is Clark Kent. He came from Kent Farm. Darkseid somehow manages to sneak into the Kent Farm without capturing Superman's parents.
Yeah.
Not only that, somehow knew that Superman was going to Kent Farm so he could attack him.
Yeah.
I mean, what, was he just sitting, like, did he see the Kents go off for, I don't know, church or shopping or wherever they went, sneak
maybe,
into
I mean, like, maybe that's what he does. He's, like, going, oh, just hang out. At least they weren't in the shower.
Yeah. And also that we can get Darkseid attacking Superman from inside the house.
Yeah.
Which is a cool shot, in fairness.
It is.
So we get Darkseid fighting Superman and Kara, which they kind of, the bounce between them being knocked out. Well, I think Supergirl gets, sorry, Kara, she's not Supergirl yet. Kara gets knocked out, so Superman then gets punched into space.
Which is great.
Darkseid then fights with Kara, who's able to hold her own.
Yeah.
And then Darkseid decides, oh, I'm going to keep you alive anyway. So after this insane fight where they're throwing each other through buildings, and then Darkseid blasts Supergirl with his Omega beams for at least 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, she's unfazed.
And then goes, right, I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill you, even though I basically implied I was going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, Superman, you punched him straight towards his power source, Darkseid. So Superman comes back and attacks Darkseid before he can leave in the boom tube. And goes a bit berserk.
Yeah, like totally, like loses it. He's a bit sick of this now.
To which, I mean, it's like he picks up a giant crater's worth of Earth and dumps it on top of Darkseid. I mean, this fight is nuts. I love it, but it's nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. It's just insane.
He starts hitting Darkseid so hard he starts a tornado.
It's pretty impressive.
And unfortunately, the Kara decides, no, we must leave you alive because we might get a sequel. So Kara is able to team up with Superman to put Darkseid through the boom tube. Unfortunately, Kara knows how to reprogram boom tubes.
Yeah.
So she sends him to float in space.
Nice.
So Darkseid just is frozen in space, which is effectively a death sentence.
Yeah. I mean, not like anyone thinks he's going to stay that way, but yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, so he's still technically alive. I wonder if he's coming back. And Jonathan and Martha come back home to find the farm. Well, they have a farm.
A little bit different, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, Clark can cover it. I mean, it's not like he's already paying for a $50,000 computer or anything.
Yeah.
So, that's the end of the film. Kara goes back to Themyscira to get a standing ovation because she's now Supergirl.
Cool. Exactly, she's going to stay.
She's going to stay and she's going to become Supergirl and fight out Smallville, I don't know.
Do good things, whatever.
Absolutely. So, that's the end of the film.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Despite the fact that this actually did quite well financially, it did $6.5 million.
It's pretty good.
And it then took another $2 million when the Blu-ray came out a few years later. And this is the last time we're in this sort of universe.
Oh, right.
So we don't
go... buy this. We don't get Grumpy Batman.
So, yep. Well, we get Grumpy Batman, just not this Grumpy Batman.
Okay, that's... Yeah.
Yep. Well, we even get one voiced by Kevin Conroy. Next episode we're going to be doing is going to be four short films.
Hooray! How short?
Well, the longest of them is 22 minutes. So...
Okay.
So it is four... So it is actually... It is a DVD box set that came out called the DC Showcase Original Shorts Collection. Now, the first three films of it were included in Crisis on Two Earths, Under the Red Hood, and this film, Superman Batman Apocalypse.
Right.
And they're 10-minute introductions to The Spectre, Jonah Hex, and Green Arrow.
Ooh, exciting. I'm quite interested now.
And the main event is a 22-minute short featuring Superman and Shazam.
I'm more into Jonah Hex. But
into
that's
the
cool.
Return of Black Adam.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that is the next, well, quadrilogy of films that we'll be watching.
Cool.
And which actually looks pretty interesting in terms of, well, I think this is the first time we'll have The Spectre, first time Jonah Hex, first time that Green Arrow gets to speak.
Proper time, yeah, yeah.
And first time with Black Adam as well, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, it's quite a good little lineup. It's also, it's quite strange, actually. So these are all DC Showcase films.
Right.
So these were included in as extras in DVDs. And then suddenly they stopped doing it. They do one for Catwoman in Batman Year One, but it's just a continuation of that story.
Right.
And then the next one they do is in Batman Hush, which is 2018, 2019?
Right, oh god, that's quite
so
a lot.
They randomly jump... They do go back to doing it, but when they go back to doing it, they feature Sergeant Rock, Death, the Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange.
Uh-huh.
And Death in the Family, the interactive film, is also considered under this banner of DC Showcase.
Right. Oh, that's quite a lot.
So, yeah, we'll have to do, at some point, we'll have to do, like, we can do Sergeant Rock, Death, Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange is, like, one film.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know if or how we're going to do Death in the Family.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I mean, I've seen some clips from it, and it does actually look quite interesting.
Mm.
Thankfully, it's the only decision is not do you kill Jason Todd or not, thankfully.
Mm. We'll see. We'll see if you can get past my boycott of it.
Well, if not, then it'll just be me babbling into the void.
I'm sure I can be around to explain my boycott. Yeah, I'm fine watching Death in the Family, whatever. It's a long way off, at least.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, I'm half tempted to get Conor McKenna for If We Do Injustice.
No, he won't come on. He won't. Well, I mean, he probably would, but you would not be able to keep it swear-friendly.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying, so you're giving yourself a lot of editing work.
It's fine. Anyway, so that will be... So once we do Superman, Shazam, and the other DC originals, that's us finished with 2010.
Wow.
So we'll be going on to... There are three movies in 2011, which are All-Star Superman.
Oh, I've read that. Not for ages, though. Blimey.
Which I believe features a Superman Lex Luthor.
The comic does, which I find a little bit... like, confusing at the time, but yeah.
Green Lantern Emerald Knights, which is a compilation of short stories featuring, like, the origins of, like, the first Green Lantern. I think it's the first Green Lantern, Kilowog, the planet Mogo?
Mm-hmm.
One other character that I don't remember the name of, but she's voiced by Kelly Hu. And a story featuring Sinestro and Abin Sur.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
Which, it's... Because it's set in a universe where Hal Jordan is an established Green Lantern. I think this is the first time Nathan Fillion plays him. And Sinestro's still a lantern at this point. A Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And then the final 2011 film is our first Frank Miller Batman adaption with Year One.
Wow.
Which... features Ben McKenzie as Batman.
Interesting.
Which I think means that Ben McKenzie is the first person to play Gordon and Batman.
That's funny.
Anyway, that's all to come in
the next... I thought you were about to say, and not the last. There's a list of people who played them both.
Well, I suppose technically Jim Gordon has played Batman.
Yeah.
It's a bit like... what was the other one? David Suchet is the only person to play Poirot and Jap. I just find that sort of thing
Jack
funny.
Who?
Jap, Inspector Jap.
Oh, okay, yeah, that made sense.
So anyway, thank you for joining us on the DCAU podcast. If you want to hear our voices elsewhere, I also appear in the Rise of the Robots podcast, which by the time this comes out will just have finished our coverage of BattleBots Season 2.
Ooh.
Which I'm recording later today.
And I'm doing the Iron Fist podcast, Under the Dragon, and I have just appeared on Last Sons of Krypton. I'm going to be on the next episode as well. Well, I don't know when.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do their when they upload things, but I'm going to do two parts on Superman's secret identity, which was my choice. So you get to hear about Superman comic I love. So
excellent. And you can also follow the podcast at DCAU Podcast on Twitter, or you can email us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com, or you can find us on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page that I never plug, and I really should.
Yes, come join us on Facebook.
We sometimes even talk about things other than the podcast.
Generally,
So, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU Podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.